Good morning, everybody. How are you doing? Hey, before we get going, I want to give a quick shout out. You know, a lot of people put a lot of time and effort into putting all this stuff up. The sound, the musicians, prayer, everything. Thank you. And you know who you are, and I pray God would bless you richly. It's great to see you guys today. Glad everyone is here. And I want to share another vision I had. You know, I'm not that guy that has all kinds of visions and stuff like that, but it tells us in Acts chapter 2 that in the last days, God will pour out his spirit on all flesh. And not only that, he says that your old men will dream dreams and your young men will see visions. So apparently I'm a young guy and, and that doesn't happen very often, but last Monday, and I want to encourage you guys. Two things. I want to encourage you. First, bring your Bibles. We're not having screens up there to help you out, so please bring your Bibles. If you don't have them, go to right now. You can go right to the His Place app, His Place Westminster app. All the scriptures we'll be using today are on it. Or you can go to hisplace.com, the Westminster campus, and you can get all the scriptures along with the lyrics to the music. So for future reference, that's a way to stay along with us, but I really encourage you to bring your word. And the second thing, it was really important. The whole service depends on that. What is it?
Prayer Monday night.
Prayer Monday night. And again, this last Monday, as I was praying, and we had like 20, I don't know how many people were there. There were a number of us there. I want to welcome you guys to come. We're going to keep doing it. Because prayer is our most powerful weapon in this sense. We're dealing with supernatural things. I believe the enemy is, a lot of the deception is being revealed. A lot of what's going on behind the scenes. And in order to overcome the natural, you have to first overcome the supernatural behind it. Prayer weakens the supernatural grip. It weakens the power of the enemy to hold people in bondage. Prayer is powerful. And that is probably the primary reason we struggle in prayer. Is because we might not understand what's really going on. And two, it's setting down and you're warring. It's a war going on. And it has to be consistent and faithful. And I believe God's doing something. So what I saw Monday night was this massive amount of crowd, like you're going to a concert or you're at Disneyland or some massive amount of crowd on this broad road. And I knew they were heading for destruction. But in that massive amount of crowd were a bunch of God's kids walking right with them. And some of them were talking about Jesus. But they were living like the crowd that was walking toward destruction. They were saved, but they were consumed by the fears and the worries and all the other stuff that people that don't have God are consumed with. And then something started to happen. Before that thing started to happen, while they were walking toward this place that I knew was destruction, even though they were saved, they every now and then would look back at the cross, and then they would keep walking. And then every now and then they would look back at the cross, and then they'd keep walking. And then after a while, some of them started to turn and walk a different direction and started to walk against the crowd. And they weren't mad at the crowd, but they were walking like you would when you try to you guys know what it's like at the Orange County Fair or any of these places that are crowded and you're trying to go against the flow. You got to walk like this, excuse me, and they're walking. And as they were walking back towards the Lord in a new way. They were praying. And then people that were walking on this broad road would some turn and look at them. And they would be watching them walk this way, and they became curious. And then some of them started to turn and walk behind God's kids. And And it went back a little bit, and then what was happening was that as these kids of God were walking, they were praying for the people. Instead of just talking about Jesus and condemning the world while they walk in all the same fears, they started to pray. And the enemy who was leading them and the demonic forces that were leading these people were losing their grip on them. And they were getting some freedom and walking in that freedom and starting to walk and turn towards God. So this is what it spoke to me about God's kids, is that we're the ones. We're the ones. And I know in this group here, this crowd here, I know some of you watching, we claim Jesus, but we walk like everybody else. Maybe not exactly, but a lot of the same fears, a lot of the same habits, a lot of the same things that catch everybody else out there got us caught up. This is our time of revival, and it always starts with the house of God. It always starts with the people of God. And I think there's a revival coming. You know, when the world gets darker, the church shines brighter. And so it becomes an attractant to people. And so I'm encouraging us today, and we're going to see it in the scripture, that before anything happens in the world, we have to go to prayer and weaken the demonic forces that are controlling the natural from the supernatural. And so we're going to look at that today in the book of Exodus, as we continue our study into Exodus. We're in chapter 7. Interesting thing about this chapter and chapter 8, we'll be hitting into chapter 8 a little bit too, is that nothing has happened for the Israelites during this time. For the first 7 chapters, still in bondage. Still in bondage. Journey hasn't even begun. Freedom hasn't taken place. And in fact, it got worse for them. And what did the Israelites do? They complained to Moses that God isn't helping them. And they already, as I shared with you a couple of weeks ago, they already were worshiping the gods of Egypt. They already had their little places of worship. They had bought into the culture that they were in bondage to, just like all the Egyptians. So Moses now will begin the journey of attacking the demonic forces for the freedom of the Egyptians, and also for the freedom of his kids. What happens in the natural has to first take place in the supernatural. It is a big deal, and there are demonic forces taking place. In fact, in 1 Timothy 4:1, it says this, "Now the Holy Spirit tells us clearly that in the last times, some will turn away from the true faith." That means they had faith. But they will turn away from it. They will get consumed with what's out there, with what's going on, or as Chris would say, the train wrecks. They will follow deceptive spirits. The enemy is always deceiving us. One of the ways he deceives us is to tell us he's more powerful. You have no control. You may as well give up. You can't overcome this. This is too crazy. It's too bad. It's too ugly. It says they will follow deceptive spirits and teachings, false teachings that come from demons. They will tell us lies about ourselves. They'll tell us lies about our faith. They'll tell us lies about what's going on. They'll tell you lies that God really isn't in control. The spiritual world is always battling for control. These people are hypocrites and liars, and their consciences are dead. That reminded me of those that are walking saved. But they're walking with the world. And they might, like I said earlier, might even be saying things about Jesus. But they're a hypocrite. They're a hypocrite in the sense that they're professing one thing, but yet walking a different world. And so this thing is taking place. And so the Spirit of God is going to move in those lives, just like I told you, and start to turn them. And we got the perfect example of this with the Israelites in Exodus. The demonic had to be dealt with first for the freedom of the people. It tells us in Ephesians 6:17 this. It says, "Put on salvation as your helmet." Always got to wear the helmet. Why? The first place you're going to be shot is in the head. Why? That's where you think. The enemy's first attack will always be in our thought life. And take the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. That's our weapon. He says, pray in the Spirit at all times and on every occasion. Stay alert and be persistent in your prayers for all believers everywhere. Stay alert, pray, be consistent and persistent in praying. Why? Why would he tell us this? Well, it tells us in verse 12, for we are not fighting against flesh and blood enemies, but against evil rulers and authorities of the unseen world, against mighty powers in the dark world, and against evil spirits in the heavenly places. Our battle is against that. So our response is to pray and walk the walk. And in that, we will attack the enemy, and he will loosen his grip. So the Israelites so far, their world has gone from bad to worse in the first seven chapters. They wanted God to deliver them. And I don't know if any of you have ever been into any type of recovery or anything you've tried to put down. Soon as you try to put down, guess what happens? Gets worse. The attack comes harder. So I want to go back to the seven promises. I want to go back to where does the battle stand? In Exodus 6:6, we're told this. The Lord says to Moses, therefore say to the people of Israel, I am the Lord. First thing, understand who's in charge, as we were singing today. I am the Lord. I know your situation has gone from bad to worse, but I'm the Lord. Remember who's in charge. I will free you, his seven I wills. I will free you from oppression and will rescue you from your slavery in Egypt. I will redeem you with a powerful arm and great acts of judgment. I will claim you as my own people and I will be your God. Then, when I do all these things first, then you will know that I am the Lord your God and has freed you from the oppression in Egypt. And I will bring you into the land I swore to give Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and I will give it to you as your very own possession. You know what's going to be our possession? This earth. This earth is going to be our possession. It'll be cleansed. It'll be ready for a people that walk with God and God with his people. He says, I am the Lord. But the enemy has five I wills too. He says this in Isaiah 14:12. First, he's told of his position. Oh, how you are fallen from heaven, O day star, son of the dawn. You who were brightest in heaven, you were like the morning light. You have fallen from your place in heaven, from your abode which you were designed to operate in. You are cut down to the ground, you who laid the nations low. You said in your heart, I will ascend back to heaven. I will go back up there. I will control the heavenlies. I will go above the stars of God, and I will set my throne on the highest place. I will sit on the mount of assembly in the far reaches of the north. I will sit on the highest mountain on earth and rule the earth, and I will rule in heaven. He says, I will ascend beyond the heights of the clouds, and I will make myself like the Most High and be like the Most High. And that is the battle we face. Everything else is, the battle takes place on the earth, but the war takes place in the heavenlies. Paul the Apostle tells us this in 1 Corinthians 8:5, he says, for although they may be so-called gods in heaven or on earth, he's speaking of the spiritual forces, although there may be these things, these demonic forces that call themselves gods in heaven and operating on the earth, as indeed there are many gods and many lords, lowercase, yet for us there is one God, the Father, from whom are all things, and for whom we exist, and one Lord Jesus Christ, and through whom we exist. So the battle is in the heavenlies, my friends, and you need to understand that, just as it was in the time of Exodus. So Moses has been a complete failure when he went to Pharaoh the first time. He said to Pharaoh, let my people go. The Lord, our God, the God of Israel, says, let the people go so they can go 3 days into the desert for a three-day journey and worship me. It was a test. Pharaoh, of course, if you know the story, said no. And then he put more burden on the people, made their lives more miserable. So Moses goes to God and says, it didn't work at all. And God says, it's working just like the plan. Just like the plan. Now you will see what I do. And that's what we pick up the story. Moses is dejected. The people are mad. And they're working harder than ever. Because the enemy, Pharaoh, but really the gods behind Pharaoh, have increased their bondage to stop them from thinking about being free. In chapter 7, verse 1, then the Lord said to Moses, pay close attention to this. Pay close attention to what I'm telling you. I will make you seem like God to Pharaoh, and your brother Aaron will be your prophet. Tell Aaron everything I command you, and Aaron must command Pharaoh to let the people of Israel leave his country. He says, I'm going to make you like a god. Pharaoh was considered a god. And then they had a plethora of gods. And he says, here's what you're going to be, Moses. When you speak to Pharaoh, you're going to have the authority of God. And Aaron will be like your prophet that you speak to. I speak to you, you speak to him, and you will confront the demonic forces that control Egypt. But he says this right after he says this. But I will make Pharaoh's heart stubborn, so I can multiply my miraculous signs and wonders in the land of Egypt. I'm doing this because I'm going to do something bigger. Even then Pharaoh will refuse to listen to you. So I will bring down my fist on Egypt. Then I will rescue my forces, my people. Notice he calls them his forces. You're a force. The Israelites, from the land of Egypt, with great acts of judgment, my forces will be released. When I raise my powerful hand and bring out the Israelites, the Egyptians will then know I am the Lord. So there's a battle coming up. Moses has no idea that there's going to be 10 plagues. He does not know how this is going to be carried out. And one thing you need to understand, and that's why our prayers need to be consistent and our obedience needs to be consistent, because we don't know how long the battle is. Oftentimes we think it's one and done. As soon as I throw a blow, I should have complete victory. No, the enemy ain't letting go that easy. That's not how it works. Here's the deal. We're in it till we're not in it. We're in it all the way. When you have that kind of warrior mentality, I'm in it. We sang about we're going to get a victory. But we don't know when that victory's coming. We don't know when that's going to take place. I know a lot of us, we're expecting the Lord to come back. And signs continue to point to that. But I don't know when he's coming back. So until he comes back, my job is to battle and to claim territory and to work for the salvation of people, to increase the effort, not to back away and go, oh my gosh, it's getting so dark. We know it's going to get dark. We're warriors. We're warriors, people. Hoorah. Hoorah. Then he says, right after he says this, in verse 6, Moses and Aaron did just as the Lord commanded them. Moses was 80 years old and Aaron 83 when they spoke to Pharaoh. Why would God say that? Because he wants you to know they're old men. They're not that intimidating. I don't know about you guys. I've seen 80-year-old people. Not that intimidating. Not that powerful. See, God doesn't depend on our ability. And Moses even said, I don't talk well. I don't convince anybody. I'm not a good speaker. It is not about you getting the victory. It's about you being available for God to use. He will equip you with what you need. He is the one. So he lets them know. He lets everybody know that Moses, 83, Aaron, Moses, 80, his brother, 83. They've been in the battle a long time. Most of it unsuccessfully. Then the Lord, says this. Then the Lord said to Moses and Aaron, Pharaoh will demand, show me a miracle. Show me a sign from the supernatural that you got some kind of power. When he does this, say to Aaron, take your staff and throw it down in front of Pharaoh, and it will become a serpent. It will represent the devil. The devil was called the serpent. He says, it will, the Egyptian gods will get that. He says, throw it down, it'll become a serpent. So Moses and Aaron went to Pharaoh and did what the Lord had commanded him. Aaron threw down his staff before Pharaoh and his officials, and it became a serpent. Then Pharaoh called in his own wise men and sorcerers and magicians, Egyptian magicians. And they did the same thing. So let's stop right here. First battle is against the spiritual forces. What's a wise man? Those were the ones that went to Pharaoh and counseled him. They were the ones that would throw dice. They'd throw bones. They would do these supernatural things, you know, and then giving him advice based on what they received in the supernatural. The magicians were psychics. Those were the ones who proclaimed they could talk to the spirits. They would get information from them. The sorcerers were those who practiced witchcraft. They were the ones who took and made potions. Drink this, you'll get this effect. This will be poison. Drink these things. They did the dark arts. So when Aaron goes in and throws the staff down and it becomes a serpent and starts moving, he turns and calls in his guys. And through their dark arts, because the enemy has power, tells us this. These magicians, then Pharaoh called in his own wise men and sorcerers, and these Egyptian magicians did the same things with their magic. They threw down their staffs, which also became serpents. But then something happened. And this is what you need to understand. The enemy has power. He has supernatural power. That's why people are attracted to that. That's why people go to seances and all that kind of stuff. They're looking for information in darkness. And I've talked to a number of people. I had a guy years ago come to me at church, super Christian now. And he was just coming. He played in a death metal type of band with a satanic witch. She's still out there. It's called Death 49 or something like that. 45 Grave. And it's dark, dark music. He was their bass player and he was dating the witch and things would happen. And so he started to come out of that, get clean. He came to this church. He's now an amazing man of God, going to be getting married. But one day he came to church and he brought me, I'm sitting next to him because I would sit next to him for a while. He brought me these crystals and he said, Joe, because he was just kind of, he goes, these crystals have great power. He goes, here, hold these crystals, man. They're powerful. And I took the crystals from him and I go, dude, they ain't got no power. They ain't got no power here. I said, here, take them back. And he was blown away. And I said, you know what? Here's what you need to do is get rid of that stuff. You need to renounce all that stuff. And so we did, and he got rid of all kinds of junk that he was leaning on. And I'll tell you what. There is a dark force out there, and that dark force has power. It's a real deal. Here's the thing, though. Moses' serpent ate their serpents. He ate their serpents. You know what that means? Magicians and sorcerers, they always have that wand. They always use that thing as a sign of their great power. They had it no more. They were stripped. His serpent came back into his staff. Their serpents, they didn't get them anymore. They're done. They still had power. But this, Pharaoh looked at it, and what did he do? He ignored it. Not a big deal. even though his guys in front of everybody were shown to be the weaker gods. Their gods were weaker because Aaron's God ate them up. And this is just the start. Let's move on. I'm telling you guys all this so that you know we're in the same situation now. If you think the problems we're embracing in our generation, in our culture right now, is just a human thing, you have been deceived like the world thinks. They are actively, there are people in positions of power actively seeking demonic power. Don't fool yourselves. Just because we live in America, one of our main deceptions is materialism. Is the God of money, is the God of security. And some of us have been rocked because of this disease thing going around. And we're being rocked and because it's affecting our security. Listen, we just happen to worship a lot of things in America that are natural because we have such an abundance. In other parts of the world, they are well aware of the demonic. They are fully aware of darkness and how it controls. And that's why it is a very common experience for missionaries going into any other lands, especially in the Middle East, and dealing with demonic forces straight up with the power of God. Most Arabic Muslim people that come to the Lord, and we have a church, a Muslim church, an Arabic church that deals a lot with Muslims, is they have dreams and visions. God gives them dreams. There is an attack going on in the spiritual realm that affects the natural. If you're sitting there today freaking out about that, don't! You're the winner. You have the power. Use it. Use it. I'll tell you what. Then the Lord said, so after this takes place, Pharaoh's heart, we're told this, Pharaoh's heart, however, remained hard. He still refused to listen, just as the Lord had predicted. So Moses, got to go back to the Lord. What is the deal here, Lord? Lord goes, it's working great. We attacked something. Now we're going to attack some other things. Then the Lord said to Moses, Pharaoh's heart is stubborn and he still refuses to let the people go. So go to Pharaoh in the morning as he goes down to the river. Stand on the bank of the Nile and meet him there. And be sure to take along the staff that turned into a snake. Remember, remind him. Then announce to him, the Lord, the God of the Hebrews, has sent me to tell you, let my people go so that they can worship me in the wilderness. Until now you have refused to listen to him. So this is what the Lord says. I will show you that I am the Lord. I will show you, Pharaoh, that I am the Lord. Look, I will strike the water of the Nile with this staff in my hand, and the river will turn to blood. The fish in it will die, and the river will stink. The Egyptians will not be able to drink any water from the Nile. So what is going on here? A number of things. The Nile River is virtually the lifeblood of Egypt. Without the silt provided during its times of overflow, every year when the snow begins to melt, it feeds the Nile River. The river overflows the banks, and it takes a bunch of silt and stuff, and it actually makes the land along the Nile farmable. It is a big deal. The Nile River is life to Egypt. In fact, without the Nile River, Egypt would basically be a desert and be uninhabitable. It would be desolate on both sides. So he tells them in verse 17, I'm going to take your lifeblood and I will show you that I am the Lord. Now we go to the next level of dealing with the Nile, is that the Egyptian theology about it. What is their belief system about the Nile? The Nile was considered the bloodstream of Osiris, which was their chief god. It was his blood flowing in that river that brought life to Egypt. He was the most powerful god of Egypt. And each year, when the river banks would flow, they would say he was reborn. And now he brings life again. So his blood constantly fed the people. Osiris controlled not only that, he controlled the afterlife. On most of the archaeological finds that they have of Egypt, there is always pictures of Osiris on there as the god who brings these Egyptian pharaohs, all the nobles, all this stuff back to life. He had great power. He was also the fertility god. Because the land produced, they believe it was also from Osiris's power. But there are other gods and demons that inhabited the Nile. He was the god in the Nile. They moved in the Nile. One was called Apis. He was the god of the living. And he worked in the bloodstream of Osiris. But he had his goddess wife named Apis. She was the goddess of the Nile. And then there was another god called Khnum, who was the guardian of the Nile. He would be like the chief demon that protected the Nile. From what? From the angelic forces. There was a battle. So what does God have Moses do? He has him attack the life demonic forces that controlled this. Remember, in those days, and in much of the Middle East to this day, that's what, you know, we have all heard of Sharia law, where they, in their belief system, theology and government are mixed. We happen to be in a country that says there's a separation between that. But in those countries, law of God in the Quran is the law of the land. That's what they're fighting for, to establish that. We understand the origins of that are dark. So there is this battle that Moses is taking. None of the people, they're not dealing with people. He's dealing with the gods in the supernatural. Why? Same thing you and I deal with. Until those gods are weakened, you cannot free the people. What did Jesus say? If you want to rob a strong man's house, you have to first bind the strong man. And then what did he say? Once you clean out that house, you deal with the supernatural part, you clean out that house, what comes next? The enemy will come back 7 times stronger. That's why once you deal with something in deliverance or recovery, learning to walk it in that freedom becomes very difficult. Why? Not only are you dealing with a bunch of stuff in the emotional world, you're also dealing with demonic forces that don't want you free. And if there's generational stuff coming down to you, you got to deal with that. Listen, we are body, soul, and spirit. If you are sick in body, there's a spiritual component to it. There's an emotional soul component to it. If you are sick emotionally, there is a physical part to that. There is a spiritual part to that. How many of us have ever gone to the doctor? When I went to the doctor and I thought I was having a heart attack, he goes, "Are you under stress?" Am I under stress? I'm a child of God. I do not deal with stress. I am free from that. Not everything is spiritual, but everything has a spiritual component. There is a big deal there. There is a big deal. And I'll tell you what, we deal with recovery here, and I'll tell you what, there's demonic stuff. You cannot be involved with addictions without, what you're dealing with in a sense is sorcery. There is a sorcery part to it. There is. You have to deal with that. Deliverance comes from the Lord, but the enemy doesn't give up easily. This enemy doesn't give up easily. These gods have to be shown to Pharaoh and the Egyptians. See, there's more going on here. Remember, we talked a couple weeks ago that the Israelites were serving these Egyptian gods, though they claimed the God of Israel. And he's showing these people that those gods do not have the same power as the God of Israel. Our God has much greater power. But that doesn't mean there's not a war going on. There is a battle. Scripture tells us the enemy knows his time is short and he's angry. He's trying to take down as much as he can. Then in verse 19, tells us this, chapter 7. Then the Lord said to Moses, tell Aaron. Well, did I finish that? Oh, okay, I'm sorry. In verse 18, it says this, the fish will die and the river will stink and the Egyptians will not be able to drink any water from the Nile. Then the Lord said to Moses, tell Aaron, take your staff and raise your hand over the water of Egypt, all its rivers, its canals, ponds, and the reservoirs. He goes, it's all going to be a mess. God is thorough. He said, take it and put it over there. Put it on the ponds. Put it on the little streams that cause a little flow over here. Strike that. Everything that has water from the Nile, strike it. So the water will turn to blood, even the water stored in wooden bowls and stone pots. So Moses and Aaron did just as the Lord commanded them, as Pharaoh and all his officials watched. They watched this taking place. Aaron raised his staff and struck the water of the Nile. Suddenly the whole river turned to blood. The fish in the river died and the water became so foul that the Egyptians couldn't drink it. There was blood everywhere throughout the land of Egypt. But again, the magicians of Egypt used their magic. And they too turned some water into blood. They took a little bit of water and they were able to do something to turn it into blood themselves. And so Pharaoh, not impressed. Here's the thing. Everything that was mimicked by the magicians and the sorcerers was destruction. They could never bring it to restoration. So even though they did this little trick or their magic, or maybe it was real. Maybe they had some demonic power that could do that when they called on their God. They were not able to change it back. That's one of the ways you know God's working in a life, is you see restoration. That's one of the ways you know that these people are still under bondage, is they keep going back. The enemy comes to kill, steal, and destroy. He can do things to make us think there's something good about it. And I've told you myself, my friend used to tell me, Joe, why do you think they call it dope? And it's like, Because I called evil good and good evil. One of the things we're seeing, one of the deceptions that we are seeing in our land today is the calling of evil good and the calling of good evil. And when that starts to happen and God's kids buy into it, then yeah, that's not really a bad thing. That's okay. That's not really it's all right. You know, hey, we're not going to be able to control people, but we don't have to call what's wrong right just because they call it that. And you know what? Some of us are very fearful of that because we're afraid of the ramifications. And I get it. But you know what? I think God's calling for revival. And at some point, we're going to have to walk the walk. And we're going to have to let go of those gods that are destructive to us. It amazes me when I'm looking around and what people say. You know, we just need to trust science. Well, you trust it when you want to. Then you make up things when you don't. So, we have this thing going on here. How much time? Oh, I got an hour. Come on, Joe. Yeah. So, what happened? It tells us in verse 24. Well, let's go there. They too turned it in there. Verse 23 tells us this. After Pharaoh saw what they did, it says Pharaoh returned to his palace and put the whole thing out of his mind. Whatever. Not that big a deal. It was a big deal, but not in his mind. But it was, because this is what we hear in verse 24. Then all the Egyptians dug along the riverbank to find drinking water. They started to find, they dug there so the blood water would be filtered, and they were getting a little water out of that to drink. For they couldn't drink the water from the Nile. 7 days passed from the time the Lord struck the Nile. He let them suffer for 7 days. And then the Lord's going to do something else. So, this is a horrible situation in their lives. And they are watching it. The duration of the first plague lasting 7 days. We're not even told how it ended. We're just told that the Lord allowed it to stay there 7 days. Must have been long enough to freak out the Egyptians. To where they wanted some relief. But this was just the start. And this is the reality I want to close with and you need to understand. Moses now is only one plague into nine more. Or actually 10 total. He is just beginning the journey. Even though he's done amazing things. All of us in here, even though God has done amazing things in your life, you're not near completed. You may be. I mean, we may not be here. Some of us may not make it home today. I did a funeral yesterday for a young man that, you know, and the devastation in his family and all that goes with that, that just died at work, just passed over. It appears he had an aneurysm. Didn't know about it. 30 years old. Boom, done. So somebody might be done today. We don't know that. But here's the deal. In the big picture, you're not done. You're still going to be involved whether you're here or there or here. So he's one plague into it. Did not know there would be 10 more. Didn't even have the concept that they would be 40 more years into the desert after that. Be thankful God doesn't show you the big picture. We have enough trouble today. He had no idea. Because, you know, as we get into this story, it's only a 10-day, 14-day journey from bondage to freedom. It took him 40 years. Because why? You can get out of Israel, but getting Israel, I mean, you can get out of Egypt, but getting Egypt out of you? There's a lot more stuff going on. So, freedom from bondage, freedom from demonic stuff, freedom from the influence of that in the supernatural on the natural is costly and time-consuming. That's why he told us earlier, Paul told us, you got to pray consistently. You got to pray fervently. You got to pray all the time. It's got to be not just about, Lord, meet my natural needs. No, we need to pray against the spirit. We need to pray against the spirits that are operating in darkness in our county, in our state, in our country, and the higher forces that control the world. We need to pray against those. God, weaken their grip. God, tear down their strongholds. God, free the people that are being controlled by them. Free them, Lord God. Could we come against these forces? It is a real, real deal. And it's time consuming. And one must be diligent and not give up when some relief comes. How many of us have given up the battle when we get a little relief? Oh, God, thank you. I got 5 days of relief right now. I'm in complete victory. No, you're not. You got to be diligent. The enemy, if anything about that guy, he's patient. I've told you before, as long as he can keep the foot in the door, he's good. Because why? Don't take long. Knees in. Halfway in. Voila! Controlling the place. That's how he operates. That's what he does. You got to consistently deal with the issues. But some change comes in this next battle. The magicians of Egypt, as we will see as we move forward, were unable to produce what God's Moses could. At some point, they can't do it. Their power is limited. And you, my brothers and sisters in the Lord, you have power enough, Scripture tells us, for every occasion to be victorious in every way. To endure whatever comes at you and keep the faith. You have been given a greater reservoir from the God who controls it all than the enemy ever has. You have been given insights. You ever wonder, why can't people see things? It's because you have been given spiritual insight. You have the Spirit of God who lives in you, and he knows all the things of God. The enemy doesn't have that. The enemy doesn't go into the chamber room, the war room of God, and discuss the thing with God. He is absent from that. We have that. So the enemy always works with what he already knows. We have power that we can use. So here's my challenge to us this week as you go about your daily life. Exercise your power. Exercise your power. You know what happens? Fear leaves, as Chris said earlier, and faith builds. The battle we have is fear and faith. And when I operate in faith, I operate in strength. When I operate in fear, you ever notice, you operate in great weakness. So that's it. When I exercise faith, fear leaves. When I exercise fear, faith leaves. So how many want to be faith warriors this week? All right, let's pray. So I'll lead you in prayer. Lord Jesus, I thank you that you win, that you will show yourself victor, and we will receive victory. So today, we're in it to win it. No matter how long it takes, Moses labored a long time. We will labor a long time. Teach us to fight in the Spirit so that we may walk in the flesh well and be a light to those governed completely by their flesh, to see something brighter, to see something bigger. I pray for freedom for our land. I pray for freedom for myself. I pray healing. And we come against the demonic forces in the heavenly realms by the power of the living God. We command you, let God's people go. And until you do, we will keep commanding it. For we are the victors. In Jesus' name. Fight on. God bless you guys.